That's Kathy Tricoli in the Winter Wonderland. Before that, from Michael Card, Where Cross the Crowded Ways, an old hymn from about 1912, I think that was written. And it's all about Christian life in the big city, where all the people are gathered, high concentrations of humanity crossing the crowded ways. See, that's where that comes from. And we have a couple of folks with us. You know Gisle. Gisle joins us every Thursday. Gisle Sorley, a stewardship counselor, certified financial planner from Alexandria, Virginia. And along with Gisle this morning, special guest, he's an accountant, a crack? Well, I can't even use the word crack safely anymore, can I? He's an accountant. And it's John Nichols from Bethesda, Maryland. John, good morning. Welcome to you.
Good morning. Welcome to you. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, this could be fun if it weren't for taxes.
Exactly.
That's
the world I live in.
Yeah. And why do you do that? I mean, that can't be fun.
It is. You know, it's the necessary evil for really what I love to do is work with small business, work with nonprofits, and help people plan. So, you know, the tax side of life is the necessary evil to get me involved with all of that.
So you and Gisle are really kind of a team then. You play two different positions on the same team, don't you?
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. We love you know, getting all of your advisors together around the table, thinking about you. So that's the, you know, if you really want to add value, get your attorney, your financial planner, and accountant to work together. That's sort of the power team that can really make a difference for you.
Okay.
Many accountants are historians. They kind of do life backwards. They kind of just record what has happened. But there are a few that actually look forward as well and try and help to see, okay, what are possibilities, how can we plan, how can we add value going forward. And John's firm is one of those firms that really sort of take a forward look at things and see how you can add value to somebody's situation going forward.
So it's more than tax preparation then, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yes. If it was just tax preparation, that wouldn't be the world for me. We really, you know, if you're a client and coming to me in March and plopping down your information, you know, all I can do is really be a historian. There's not much that I can do to change your situation. But, you know, if we can talk throughout the year and especially, you know, the last couple months, you know, at this point gives us another 25, 26 days to make a difference to what your tax burden is going to be for the year. So this is when we can really add value.
I don't want to derail the entire conversation. Maybe you guys got a direction you're going in, but John, you know, I'd like to know, how do you feel about the flat tax?
Yeah, it's it's funny because, you know, a lot of people have been talking about it and have really looked and seem to think that this is a new idea or a new type of system to look at when really it isn't. Every major administration that has looked to make changes has looked at the flat tax, has looked at the VAT tax. You know, Reagan was very, very close to going in the flat tax direction. So it's not something that's new. It's been looked at, reviewed, they've been worried about making it work from a collection standpoint. And
there's a question for you, because if it's a flat tax, and especially if it takes the form of, say, a national sales tax, the collection mechanism's already in place. It would be incredibly efficient compared to what exists now, wouldn't it?
Correct. If everybody was honest and upfront, absolutely. But what we found in other countries that have done this is, you know, the amount of fraud and other issues involved really increases.
But how can there be fraud if you go buy something and you're charged at the cash register this federal tax?
Right, because you don't get charged. So it's a
handshake. So it would be the merchants that don't
you.
Do it. Okay,
yeah, I got absolutely. It. So that's what they run into. You know, if a vendor can be 6, 7, 15%, whatever that number is, you know, less expensive than his competitor, and, you know, that gives him the advantage, that's what they're running into. So I love the theory. I love the thought of it. I would love to find something else to do or spend my time helping small business be successful, but I think we're a long way off from
And then what would all the attorneys do? You know,
they'd be working at Walmart.
That's kind of the, I'm going to take your answer as you don't like it. Okay.
No, not necessarily. I think that they're I love the theory. I love the idea of it. Really, what I would love or what I think should happen is really one of the things that's coming out of Washington is the theory of, you know, getting rid of all the complexities. So what we're looking at is a broadening of the base of people who pay and then pay at a lower rate. Right, so one side of the aisle wants to squeeze that base, so make it much smaller, you know, less people paying taxes, but paying at a much higher rate. And the other side of the aisle wants to broaden that base, so make a, you know, everybody's going to pay, but everyone's going to pay at a much lower rate. So we would get rid of deductions, mortgage, charitable, things like that. Mm-hmm. But in return, we would also reduce the overall burden that people are paying at a lower rate. So it's heading in that flat tax direction, just getting rid of a lot of the complexities, broadening the base and lowering the rates. That's how, you know, if I could do it, that's the way I would go.
Yeah, how would that affect your business?
It would have a dramatic effect on what we do. So we would have to figure out exactly how to respond to that. But like I said, I would love to spend more time with businesses and nonprofits and you know, use our analytical and accounting skills in a different way. So I would love
or to or their small farming, John. You could just go to a small farm in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. There you go. That's yeah, perfect. There you go. Yeah, and we see a lot of countries, and Gisela, I don't know your experience, but a lot of countries, you know, the government does the taxes for you, and you know, with technology and with all the reporting requirements, you know, we could go in that direction where you're just going to get a tax bill and, you know, take your information, they stick it in the system and say, this is what you owe. And, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, the billions of dollars that are spent collecting our taxes, you know, would go away in a lot of ways in that system mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. Norway has 25% sales tax.
25% okay, sales tax. That's state and local and federal all wrapped up or just federal?
Yeah, all wrapped up.
Okay.
Federal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Already. Well, John, tax laws change from year to year to year to year, and we're already in December, so there's like 22 days left in the year, something like that. An accountant could tell you right away how many days are left. My math is not that quick. Laws change, and we don't hear about it until tax time. Usually, it's kind of too late. Yep. If we wait, if I open up TurboTax on April 14th, about midnight or so, and I say, well, it's time to do this, and I discover there are changes, it's kind of too late to do anything about it. What's different this year than last year? What's changed?
Yeah. So the good side of 2013 is we do have some clarity in what we're going to deal with. Right, and every other year we sort of got to this point, and then Congress woke up and said, "Oh, you know, we have some major issues out there that we need to deal with," and you know, in about 2 weeks, you know, they would put something together and patch it up and send it through.
Yeah,
and,
I've noticed. You know, that if I do TurboTax in January, it looks for updates and updates and more updates, and finally, by tax time, supposedly you have the final set of rules you got to work by.
Yeah, exactly. So unfortunately, we will have issues with that again this year, just with the furlough and some of the things we'll talk about now, the changes that we do, you know, we do know about. Software companies and the IRS are struggling to get everything finalized. So unfortunately, you will have a delayed tax season again this year because of some of that. But really, you know, what we saw implemented into 2013 was a variety of different tax hikes, right? So in the world of Congress, they call them revenue raisers. You know, they're raising money to fund Obamacare in a lot of ways, and also fund some of the other major deficiencies that our government has. And really what they've turned to is really this this threshold type taxation. So what happens is once you cross over a certain threshold, additional taxes, higher taxes, excise taxes, reduction of itemized deductions, those things start to come into play. What they were trying to do was leave the, you know, George W. tax cuts in place for the majority of taxpayers, and like I said, sort of squeeze and target those higher tax or higher income earners and high net worth individuals with these additional tax increases. The unfortunate side of that strategy is, you know, Congress's view of a high income earner and high net worth individual doesn't always match what we feel, and especially, you know, the fact that someone in New York City versus someone in Pittsburgh, you know, they're treated exactly the same. That cost of living doesn't always work out in our favor.
A built-in inequity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. So the numbers, just to throw them out there, you know, for a lot of people, you know, they won't necessarily see a change, but you know, when our total income, so this is before taking any deductions, gets to $250,000. Again, that may sound like a lot of money depending on where you are, or doesn't sound like a whole lot if you know, if you're in some of these higher
It's always always sounded like a lot of money to me.
Yeah, exactly. So you may have said this is great. But once we get to that point, we have a new excise tax, they call it a Medicare tax, of 3.8% on all of your investment income earned above that. So that's sort of the first, that is a pure Obamacare revenue raiser that is in that law that came into effect in 2013. That 250 is for joint filers. If you're an individual filer, that number is 200,000. So if you're under that threshold, great. You don't necessarily have to worry about that 3.8%. Or if you make more than that but don't have a whole lot of investment income, again, not a major concern. What we're finding, though, is for a lot of people, they may be under this threshold, but, you know, may have an event, a sale of a house or property, or receive a large inheritance, and that, you know, creates some issues down the road that puts them into this area, and they just weren't prepared for it. And this extra 4% tax is not a friendly welcome to, you know, to the world of being above that.
Except I think those people will be smart enough to know that something's different about this year because of this event. So I'm going to go get some help on this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You would hope, but you would be surprised how many people come to us in March and say, oh, by the way, you know, received $2 million in inheritance, or, you know, sold a house that was gifted to me, you know, things like that. So it's not always on people's radar that the consequences of actions during the year, which is, again, why we love to talk to our clients throughout the year to make sure we're aware of what's going on.
What about Obamacare? What are some of the, you know, you've kind of mentioned indirectly some of the ramifications because taxes are going up because of Obamacare, but how do you handle medical expenses now? Any change in that?
Yeah, there's a little bit, not major changes. You know, a lot of people felt, you know, a lot of people have what's called a medical FSA, so a flexible spending account, in which it allows them to put pre-tax dollars into an account that they can use to pay for medical costs. So, you know, that total amount that you could put into that was reduced heading into the year. So that had an impact on people, not just over certain thresholds. You know, what you can reimburse yourself through the FSA, that was squeezed on us a little bit. So we can't, it's not as liberal as it used to be.
Now, is that the same thing as a medical savings account, an MSA? Is it the same thing?
Or? It's not. It's similar in how it operates, but the FSA is actually provided by the employer.
Okay.
Gotcha. And just covers out of pocket costs. So your co-pays and other doctor bills, not covered by insurance. The MSA, you know, wraps your medical or your insurance and those costs all into one plan. But it's very similar in how it operates. You know, the other issues, you know, the things that we're keeping our eye on is, you know, the issues with people signing up for Obamacare. And, you know, the plan will struggle to work if participation is not high because people can't sign up, that's going to mean that we're going to need additional revenue raisers in the future to make sure that this thing that this thing's run. Mm-hmm.
And we understand now, at least the early returns
has been very clear that he will spend. Yeah.
Young people are not signing up. Not at the numbers.
Yeah, and that's right. That's the concern is, in order for this to work, we need a lot of young, healthy people to jump on and jump into that pool to cover, the folks that are not as healthy or have medical issues, who are, who will benefit. You'll see extreme benefits from being able to.
It's
to
either that, John, or we just have to get rid of a lot of old people.
there you go.
So we two sides to that coin. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
So, it'd be just about all of them.
right. Very true.
The 50 would be the new 50.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And nobody makes it to 51.
There
John,
you go.
John, we're at the end of the year. What are some things an individual taxpayer can do to, to reduce their taxes?
Yeah, we love to look at, again, we're looking at these different thresholds and there's others, but we love to look at ways that we can get under thresholds or, for us, we're looking between years.
Now, when you say thresholds, you mean that's tax brackets, right?
Tax brackets. Mm, okay. Exactly. So we like to see, what are the brackets this year? What are you going to have next year? Is there going to be an influx? And then we look at, okay, what are your options? If you have a small business, then, your options are really unlimited. We have a lot of different things that we can do before the end of the year as far as timing of income and timing of expenses to try to make you as efficient as possible. For a lot of us, we may have a W-2 and a house, a couple kids and a dog, and not a whole lot else. So for those folks, our deductibility really comes down to the timing of state taxes paid, real estate taxes paid. Charitable is really the golden child. If you have a charitable intent, that's the deduction that works across the board. Even if you're in what's called AMT, which is a whole nother, we could have a whole nother call on the issue of AMT. But charitable deduction is one. If we do have clients that have charitable intent, the timing, the amounts, whether we use donor advised funds, there's just a lot of strategies to get the most efficiency out of.
Now, for a charitable deduction, John, is the deadline the 31st or is it April 15th? I know
it is. Yeah, so it's the 31st, okay. Right? Almost everything. Very few things can be done after the year. There are a couple IRA contributions that can be made before April 15th that can affect your tax return. But really, most things need to be done before the end of the year, by 12/31, at least in the mail by 12/31.
Can a person over 65 benefit from an IRA by opening one?
Yeah, so you no longer can at that point. You're currently employed, you can continue to contribute to a 401k and continue in that plan, but yeah, the IRA would disappear. And in order to qualify for an IRA, you do have to have earned income. So if you are retired, you wouldn't be able to fund that anymore either.
Okay. Well, Gisele, how do you and John work together? Do you have a formal relationship where maybe you're a team, or is this more like a task team situation when you work with a client?
Absolutely. It's one we would work with a family. We would bring all the advisors together and make sure everybody knows what is going on, how can we add value, work as a team, and everybody work, have one goal, how can we help this family with their planning.
Okay.
So I think one of the key problems in sort of this financial planning industry is lack of communication between the different advisors. The investment guy does his thing, the attorney does his thing, and the accountant does his thing, and there's no communication between the parties. And it's really key to bring these folks together. And that's sort of part of my job, to really bring folks together and work as a team.
Who else might be on that team besides an advisor and an accountant?
It'd be the state attorney and a life insurance person.
Okay.
And the investment advisor, usually. Sometimes there could be other folks, property and casualty people, and so forth. But the key people are the accountant, estate attorney, investment person, financial advisor type of person.
So there's a difference between a financial advisor and an investment advisor.
Sometimes it can be. Sometimes some folks are just focusing on the investments. They only deal with investment portfolio, and somebody else deals with the financial planning, you know, mm-hmm. figuring out, okay, how much do we save for retirement, education, and so forth.
Okay.
And they could be either separate people or they could be one person.
Mm-hmm. And the reason you exist is because life gets so complicated.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We are keeping a lot of people employed.
Well, you know, fortunately, David and I have no money, so life is relatively simple, you know.
So, yeah, it's been really nice talking to you guys.
Yeah. John, who are the people that you could serve, and how do people find you, and what's sort of your ideal client profile? And
We want to work with fun people that like to pay their bills at the end of the day. So outside of that, like I said, my passion is with the small business owner, the entrepreneur, sort of the backbone of our economy. We work a lot with nonprofit society, but we do a lot of work with high net worth or individuals that need tax planning. So. If you want to work, with an advisor like myself or our team, you're going to have to want to talk with us. So that's sort of our caveat up front is, you know, we're not a stop and drop shop that you talk to us in April and never see us again. We want people that have a little more going on with their tax return, something that we can add value beyond just the tax compliance side of life. But also that want to communicate, want to build a relationship, and want us as a part of their overall team.
Okay.
Is sort of how we've built our niche of clients.
Well, money is such a personal thing. I mean, it helps to know and trust people you're working with, and that isn't always the case. You know, I think back to years ago when I dealt with a couple of, now I would call them investment counselors, and wound up losing money in a hurry. To speculative real estate investments that I knew nothing about, but I trusted him, and the trust was violated, and you're talking about a whole different animal here, John and Gisela.
Yeah. Well, favorite type of client is when we come across a family that say, "Hey, I know everything I have belongs to God, and I want to maximize the kingdom impact I can have with our resources, and we help them do that." Mm-hmm. That's when it gets really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, John Nichols, an accountant in Bethesda. I'm going to get I've got your email address, John, but I want to get a link. Can we link to your business?
Okay. Absolutely. We'd love that.
Okay.
We appreciate that.
Well, listen, after we conclude here, maybe you can just email me. I mean, right away this morning, your website. And
Your website, John? What is
it? It's www.hueyassociates.com. So that's Huey Associates, plural.com.
Okay, we'll get that down, so people can who listen to the podcast can actually reach you directly. Then they can get right to your website and get in touch with you if they're so inclined. So that's what the nice thing about having an internet radio station. You're so tied to the website, but traffic here for our podcast is substantial. And hopefully, we'll get some people in touch with you who need you.
Fantastic. We'd love to assist.
Well, you've got offices in Germantown and Herndon.
We do, absolutely. Yep, we've got DC surrounded, absolutely.
Okay, and there's even a client list here.
Hey.
All right.
It's all the super zip codes, David.
It's all the super zip codes, yes.
He's read the book too, David.
You don't live in the super zip code. Thanks, but... Thanks, Denny.
That's right. Very good.
Well, Gisela, you're developing quite a reputation here for bringing in stellar guests for us to talk to and to teach us things. And again, thank you so much for finding John for us. John, thank you for taking time. I know it's got to be approaching the end of the year and holidays and all that's got to be super busy for you. Just to help you along, we here in East Dakota are sending you a dose of our weather for next week. Your temperatures will plummet. The skies will cloud up. It'll snow. Gisela will be delighted.
See the benefit of having weather like East Dakota is you're not distracted by all that pleasant weather and going outdoors and having a good time and stuff. We just stay inside and be miserable.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. That's one of my favorite parts of tax season. It's January through April, so the first couple months are pretty miserable. So it's goes right along with life. I like it.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing better than a snowstorm that lifts responsibility from your shoulders. I can't get out. Can't do anything. Of course, one of the drawbacks now is with the internet, we can still work.
Yes, absolutely.
John, thanks so much. Gisele, thank you too. We'll look forward to next week, and see you then. Music from the Birchfield Brothers.